call and we'll see if we have enough people to do this.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Karen Bounds.
Here.
Loretta Broomfield.
Here.
Frank Buckingham.
Here.
Ann Chandler.
Here.
Jenna Griffith.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Ryan Johnson. Kevin Kelsey.
Here.
Tammy Kraus.
Here.
Kevin Latos. Christy Lear.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Emily Piquel.
Here.
Christy Walker.
Here.
That is enough.
Good. All right, let's get this show on the road then. Believe it or not, I'm going to start with Edwardsville this time. Will the extra people from Edwardsville please sign in?
Hi, this is Leslie Bender, Eleanor Hartland Library System.
Matt Caskey, IHLS.
Colleen Dettenmeyer, IHLS.
Rhonda Jonassy, IHLS.
Jill Trevino, IHLS.
That it? Okay, yep. Thank you. I decided I wouldn't leave you out this time. Carbondale.
Troy Brown, IHLS.
I'm Pop at IHLS.
Thank you. Champagne.
Kat Anderberg, IHLS.
Okay. Illinois State Library.
The meeting ID is invalid.
Heaven's name is that. Okay. And we have our Zoom people checked in. So I don't think I've forgotten anybody this time.
Just visitors on Zoom, if you want
okay.
that.
Do we have any?
Yes.
Shirley Payden from IHLS.
Okay.
Stacy Bushon, IHLS.
Kate Kite, IHLS.
Is that it?
Zandra Thompson, IHLS.
Anna Yackel, IHLS.
Okay. Part of my problem is that I don't see all of you. That's why I'm a little puzzled as to where everybody is. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jill Heffernan and State Library. We got the official State Library feed.
So sorry.
It's, good, you're official. All right,
thank you so much.
Okay, we've done that. We've done that. Let's go for the approval of the September 26th, 2023 minutes, attachment 3.1. Did I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we table those until the public comment section is completed. For some reason, it was left out.
Do we have a second on that? Hearing none, could I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, say who you are, please.
Kevin.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second, Linda.
Thank you.
I'd like to know how you can approve minutes when part of it are missing.
It's been motioned and the second has been made. Would you call the roll, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Number four, approval of director and staff activity report, attachment 4.1. Motion to approve.
That's Kevin, so moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second, Linda McDonald.
Thank you. Roll call again, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Acceptance of the September 2023 bills. Rhonda, did you need to address any of this?
I don't, but if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you.
I do have I'm just wondering why we're paying two staff members a total of over $250 to attend a baby shower in Champaign during the workday on work time.
I can answer it, Divine. Sure. So those staff who put in for mileage reimbursement to attend meetings at the Champaign office were also there. They worked at the office that day. They also participated in a baby shower. Because they did work there and participate in meetings during the day there, we are obligated to pay them mileage.
Okay, I'd take a motion in a second to approve the September 2023 bills, please.
Kevin, I'm...
Kevin? Okay.
This is Sarah, I'll second.
Dang it. Control yourselves, folks. Okay. Stacy, would you call the roll, please? Stacy?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Number six, September 2023 financial report. Any comment, Rhonda?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. So the financial reports in your packet tonight are for activities through the month of September, so ending September 30th, 2023. Under grant status, we currently, in the month of September, we didn't receive any additional funding from grants. But we did get notice from the State Library that we could possibly be seeing a large portion of our system area per capita grant coming soon. We are anticipating our first half of OCLC billing grant this month. And then also, I hope we receive the first quarter reimbursement for the library trustee training grant. So we will see by next month's statements where we're at. But those are on the horizon, and I'll go over a few things that are on the statements tonight. So the target benchmark of remaining budget in the statement of revenue and expenditures should be 75% for all budget line items except for personnel, and that should be around 73%. So any items that are under that benchmark percentage have been noted with an explanation at the bottom of each statement of revenue and expenditure. On the general fund, under those statements, The revenues year-to-date actual are below year-to-date budget by 85.3%, but that's because we have not received any of that system area per capita grant funding for the year yet. The total expenses year-to-date actual are below year-to-date budget by 4.4%. So we're doing well there on expenditures per share, fees for services and materials. The year-to-date actuals of $1,388,102.94 represents 89.3% of the projected FY24 for those revenues. And we've collected, as of September 30th, 93.8%. So we've done really well with our collections there for share. That's mainly their annual billings. So on the total expense side for share, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 28%. So again, they pay a large bills like Polaris software are booked in the expenses at the beginning of the year. So a large annual subscription fees that we bill out for in July are booked. So that's what throws this expense percentage off a little bit till about mid-year, and then we start catching up again. So balance sheets. So under the general fund, as of September 30th, the cash balance was $4,476,924.44. And that balance would fund the general fund operations for an estimated 11 months based on its FY24 approved expenditure levels. And then it would also fund the special revenue funds, excluding CMC, because we've received 50% of that grant. So we've taken that out of the equation for an estimated 10.1 months as it's carrying those grants. On share side, the total cash balance as of September 30th was $2,892,427.93. So it's represented in three different categories of money. So under the reserve funds, it had a total of $1,024,347.59. Under the committed funds for the ebook cloud purchases, we had $104,666.96. And then under the unrestricted funds, which is their operating cash, is $1,763,413.38. So that unrestricted portion would fund its operations for share for 9.7 months based on FY24 expenditure levels. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I need a motion and a second for this.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second Christy Walker.
Thank you. Stacy, once again.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Kevin Lear. Or, I'm sorry, Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Piquel.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the Freedom of Information Act update. Since Josh is absent, we did receive one. A commercial FOIA request from Smart Procure was received for purchase records information. This is a regular quarterly request, and it was filled within the time allowed. Okay. Open Meetings Act, we don't have anything to update tonight. Public comment, did we get any public comment? Hearing none, on to communication. Leslie?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thanks very much to all of you for responding to the poll so that we could reschedule the October 31st board meeting to today, November 8th. We really appreciate all that you've done to make sure that we have forums at our meetings. Under communication, we have two primary things that we'd like there to be some conversation among attendees if you're comfortable. The first, and they both are our two big fall conferences. So we start with the Association of Illinois School Library Educators Conference. A handful of our board and staff did attend this conference. If you were there and you would like to share your impression or something, you know, you thought that was an outstanding session, please do so now.
Actually, this is Emily Pakel. I was there. I saw Leah's presentation on data kind of storytelling, and it was really great. I think we're going to try and get her in our district to talk to the rest of our library staff at our district about it.
Great. Thank you.
This is Tammy Krause. I was also there, and I was very impressed with the, they had a session for each of the library systems to meet with all of their members and people in the area. And it was well attended, and the staff just did a wonderful job of presenting information for the wide variety that was there. People got their questions answered, and I think it was very, very informative. They did our staff did a wonderful job.
Thank you. It's really good to hear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm guessing that's all the comment. That's great. Then the next conference, also in October, was the Illinois Library Association annual conference that was held in Springfield. I know one board member that I see on the screen was there, and another one was the president, is the president, Briley. He's not here. So if you would like to, Karen, want to share any of your observations, that would be lovely.
Well, once I finally had a room to stay in, the trustee training thing that Illinois Heartland presented was most promising. I also, my own Centralia Regional Library District is looking to do some outreach that we have not tried before. And so I went to a story time for seniors presentation that I found very interesting. And I'm going to suggest to my board in Centralia that we perhaps look into doing something like that with our Friends of the Library group, as the library staff is not really large enough to send more than one person out. So that's not the only, those aren't the only two things I went to, but those are two of my favorites. Moving on.
Do you want the policy update information, Karen?
Yes.
Okay, so Stacy should be sharing on screen our internal document. There's been questions about when are we going to do put the bylaws in the process. We've also had meetings that change dates, our committees that don't meet. So we just make adjustments to it. It's a rolling, a living document. Stacy, can you put it on the screen or I?
Sorry, I thought I shared it already. Hang on.
Okay.
You see your Teams chat.
There you go.
Okay, so so what you can see is
zoom in on that a little bit on the word zoom. Yeah, make it bigger in your window.
Thank you, Stacy. So what you see are all the documents that we have discussed that need to be changed. This fiscal year, meeting via electronic means, it should be approved at, it is the second reading approval tonight. Mm-hmm. Public comment policy gets its first read tonight and hopefully approval at the other November board meeting. Staff handbook, because we've had a cancellation of the board meeting last week, and then personnel meets the very beginning of the board cycle. We just put them all together for you. And then we won't, hoping it gets approved tonight, and then we won't be bringing back to you on November 28th. So there's the two for staff handbook. And then the less is bylaws. They went to the attorney today for review, and they will be shared with the executive committee in advance of their meeting next Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone have any questions on that? Hearing none. Moving on to human resources, staff report 11.1.
The staff report was included in your meeting packet. Do you have any questions that we could answer at this time?
I was wondering why we're still doing, seems like lately we are still hiring part-time sorters. I thought we were going to try to move to full-time people.
It is our goal to move to full-time drivers. It is not our goal to move to full-time sorters.
Okay. I misunderstood that then. I thought you were trying to do that as sorters.
No. We do have one full-time sorter because it worked out that we could get someone that would want to work full-time in Edwardsville because we've had a lot of difficulty with our current, with the sorters that were there before she was hired, being able to meet our operational needs for, like, we need you here at this time to sort. I've got a class. I've got whatever. So that's the nature of the position. And so we did make that decision in the summer to hire someone full-time.
Okay. The other is on this market rate adjustment again. Why are we doing this during the year? Why isn't there one time a year this is done, one raise instead of the person's already gotten a raise and now they're up again? Most places just simply do it one time a year for this type of thing. I have no problem with the market rate adjustment, but shouldn't they just all be done at the same time? Because I know I asked this when we were approving the budget as well, impression I got was it was going to be these were the raises they get, etc. So why are we doing it more than one time a year?
That's a great question. So there are times when, well, first of all, it is our goal, our stated goal to the board meeting and to our board, and we intend to keep that as true as much as possible, that everything happens with the fiscal year change. However, position descriptions change, and it's a series of events. And in the one, I think you saw one maybe last month or the month before, where we had to change one person's position compensation because their work partner's position description changed. That affected their position description, so we had to put them through that process. The same thing happened with the one that's on the staff report tonight. We cannot work in knowledge that someone's position description has changed. It does mean that they get paid more, and then wait until the beginning of the fiscal year to change their compensation.
I guess I'm trying to understand. You're hiring a senior accountant, and then you're changing accounts payable coordinator.
Yes, they had to make changes in that department because the long-standing senior accountant found another position in the company. Right. And then there was a period of time where we did not have four full-time staff. That other person stepped up. Mm-hmm. And so they were doing those duties just fine. And that allowed the senior accountant, when they came in, to focus on other duties and still complete all our tasks. Am I missing something, Rhonda or Jill?
No. You know, when we did have the changeover, we reevaluated what was actually happening, you know, and we had to address that. We have an accounts payable receivable coordinator. And we had, when the accounting assistant was hired, at that time we had five accounting staff members. Now we have four. And so she was taking on a lot more duties and no longer really an assistant, but more of doing all the accounts payable, which she is. So we mirrored those two coordinator positions, one accounts receivable, one accounts payable. And then we have the senior accountant to do payroll, higher level accounting tasks, budgeting, those type of things, and assisting, you know, her and I would work together on higher level accounting things. But that's how it needs to be structured. And that's really what was happening anyway. So we had to make that adjustment appropriately.
So you actually went from five people down to four now.
Yes, several years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Several years ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one requires a motion and a second. Do I have one in both?
So moved, Linda McDonald.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Kevin, I'll second.
Thank you. Linda and Kevin seem to be the only ones doing this tonight. Can we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Piquel.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, secondary employment. This also requires a motion and a roll call. Wesley?
It was in your board packet. Does anyone have any questions? And it's on the board intranet.
This is Sarah. I move to accept it.
Thank you.
I'll second.
That was Ann, wasn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Piquel.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Personnel, there isn't anything to discuss there tonight. So we are on to the Illinois State Library report. Do we have one?
I'm guessing no.
Apparently not. Dead silence. Okay.
Okay, unless Jill has one, but that's not, she doesn't normally report on that kind of information, so.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to the committee reports then. Executive has talked about a number of things. We have had such a turned upside down month on committee meetings that budget and finance did meet. I think facilities did meet after we did. And personnel met. I'm sorry?
I was going to say policy was canceled.
Yes.
Policy and leadership.
Yep. But anyway, we have more or less discussed everything that you're hearing tonight. Budget and finance. Kevin and Kelsey, can you talk about that?
No.
No? Okay.
No, sorry. I'd love to, but I wasn't at the meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, was anybody on budget and finance who was at the meeting?
I was at the meeting. It was a brief meeting, and we reviewed the financials, and we answered, like, I had a question again on the mileage to go to baby shower and things like that, but it was a short meeting. It was all approved and passed on to the executive.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Policy and membership, Linda?
Yes, that our meeting was canceled.
Right.
Because we were waiting for our paper application and it didn't come in. So.
Okay.
Any other
facilities? Facilities? Tammy, did you meet?
I don't believe we've met since the last time we met.
We met in October. Yes.
Okay.
So, well, you give a brief update? Do you want Colleen to give you a brief update on that meeting, Karen?
Sure.
Okay. We discussed just the Edwardsville roof. Everything's been completed there. As far as the five drain scuppers being lowered, and everything's been okay so far. And then we're working with the consultant for the automated material handling system to begin the RFP development. And then I met with a mason to discuss the tuck pointing and repair work to be completed at the Edwardsville building. And the goal is to have the RFP released in January. And I also announced the good news that we were able to order
the 9 vehicles through the state contract that we were looking to order. So that's great news.
Good.
And then we presented the vehicle surplus that will be presented tonight.
Thank you.
Karen, I just, Kevin, we have questions about the automatic material handler. Just, I don't understand what the approval process is for that. So it feels like doing an RFP before there's been a final approval seems a little wonky to me. So if somebody could just explain that to me, I'd really appreciate it.
I think at this point, they're still just looking for bids, unless I'm mistaken.
No, you're not mistaken. The last time we had a very large purchase was when we bought the software and the servers for Share. That was the process that we followed. We did an RFI, then we did an RFP, and then we brought the results in, and a recommendation to the board. We are not at the place where we know that we will definitely want to purchase an AMH yet, our system yet. Mm-hmm. And because the RFI information was rather vague from the vendors, that the 4 vendors that did respond, we wanted to be sure that we included, we put it as an RFP and said, give us your information, give us your offers.
I was wondering the same thing, because I know that you had a committee on this, and there were 2 recommendations, one not to proceed, and one to go ahead and get board approval before you went out to see what the pricing was. I wondered why that recommendation wasn't followed.
Respectfully, Anne, that is not my recollection that those were the recommendations from the committee.
No, it was to move on for a request for a proposal. What our hope is that this will end before budget is presented next year. And if it is determined that it is something we would like to include, it will be included in FY25's budget and application to the state library. And then, you know, it'll go on for, the bids would be approved. I think we normally bring all the RFPs anyway back to the board to review and approve. But that's kind of where we're ending, but we need more details. But that was the working group's recommendation, was to move forward with a request for proposal to get that more information and get those solid numbers, because what we had was just a bid for Edwardsville to go off of, just to give us an idea at what level we would be looking at for that machine, because that machine would be similar to Champaign and then it would be less for Carbondale. But we could kind of start there and get some idea between vendors and what their what they could provide as far as for a machine, and get some more information to begin the process.
So I think the key phrase here is more information, because I've not heard a good rationale for this yet. And until I do, I'm going to be very adamant that we get that. I can't see how we justify the cost. I just can't. So until somebody shows me numbers, and I'm going to need numbers, until somebody shows me numbers, I'm going to be really adamant that I'm very much against this.
Well,
and I agree.
Anywhere near numbers yet is the thing, because they haven't been given any that they can compile and can give to us. And we won't see anything really further on it until they do. I get your point.
Completely agree. However, we don't know why we're doing it. Because are we doing it to save money? If so, how do you do that? Are we doing it to make us more efficient? Somebody has to prove to me that we would be more efficient. I haven't seen that yet either. So there's a lot of information that I think is really critical. This is a big purchase.
Sure is.
And I make sure that we really carefully consider our fiduciary responsibility here. I'm not well convinced at all. And just want to make sure that the board is aware of that.
Yeah, Kevin, I would totally agree with you, probably pre-COVID and even before that, but things have changed as far as our staffing issues. Things have changed dramatically, you know, in that area. So there's more issues than just cost,
and things like that that we are considering. Edwardsville, we can't even get caught up with our sorting. You know, we get behind. It's so far behind. We're having issues, you know, there. There's just a multiple issues. And we have looked at machines. What I, you know, pictured it was doing, and based on Colleen and I's analysis that we did and the ROI, I mean, we had about 6 to 7 years of return on investment that we were estimating, and that was with estimated numbers. So we hope to narrow that down better once we get solid numbers. But there's a lot of factors in it. There's a lot of other staff time in it besides just...
Yeah, and you and I both knew that. If you're estimating an ROI or payback of 7 years, then you have an idea of how much it's going to cost, and you've got an idea of where you're saving money. So you do have some notion of this. Mm-hmm. But the only way I can see that you can save money and have a payback of 7 years is staff. I don't see how you can do it any other way. And that would be very troubling for me. I think that our people should be our number one priority.
Well, that's true. But the last turnover report that I did, when was that? Maybe it was been last year. Mm-hmm. I think we were losing maybe 1.5 staff sorters a month. You know, this is the turnover rate that is happening. So that's the issue. It's, you know, if they're not staying long term for the majority of these staff members here anyway. And so that's a concern for us and an issue.
Can you ask a question?
I don't want to derail, but I certainly want to put on record that I think there's a lot of information that needs to be developed here before we go very much farther.
I agree, and I thought the committee was going to, one of the recommendations before they even went was to get board approval to go out, because my understanding is you've now hired a consultant to go out for you to get these, and also... It's come back. Many systems don't use these because of the cost of repair. So I'm with Kevin. There's got to be a whole lot of information and a real good look at this.
Did I hear someone besides Ann and Kevin trying to make a comment or ask a question?
I just have a question. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Was this something that happened before I came here on board? Okay, so are you talking about like an electronic sorter for the
a machine?
Okay, because I thought we were talking about vehicles, and then I got really confused.
No, okay. It's a large machine that will do our sorting. They have them at larger libraries. Mm-hmm. We visited St. Louis Public Library. We visited
Decatur
mm-hmm. Public and viewed theirs.
Champaign
Public. And there, I think Effingham just brought in one to their building. I know Rails did not. They went through an RFI, and I believe they went through an RFP both, looking at the same thing. The reason why it doesn't work for them, they were looking at multiple other things, but they have different LSAPs running different platforms. So it would not run as efficiently as it would with us, as the majority of our libraries are on share on Polaris. Mm-hmm. It would be that one software mm-hmm. it's running through. Mm-hmm. So that's why Rails declined.
I'm sorry to derail the meeting, but this is really a hot topic for me. So I want to make sure that we're very careful about doing this the right way if we do it.
We will be. Okay, let's move on. The personnel meeting did take place. And we discussed a second set of new employee handbook policies for 2024. And we reviewed the 2024 recommendations for benefits. Advocacy and education did not meet. Let's go on to partner reports. Association of Illinois School Library Educators, Isle. Leah?
Leah's not here. I have her report. So the Isle Partnership met second week in November, which was just yesterday. They are working currently on the Slate data project, getting that dashboard to be rolled out to a development team for their assessment.
Gregory and Jeanette DeRucci are doing, are offering public, no, professional development hours together. And we are going to get it on the Slate project itself will be featured on the IL professional development calendar. There's still work ongoing in the area of materials challenges. The United Against Book Bans in Illinois project is gathering members for volunteers to participate in that project. The place that we need, the location that we need volunteers from now is in Southern Illinois. And Public Act 103-0100, we know that the State Library has published a draft grant form, and it will be a draft grant. And the information from that draft grant form is that members just have to show compliance. This begins January 1st, and the first round of applications that are going to be affected are public library per capita and public library construction grants. Thank you.
Thank you. Illinois Library Association, Ryan isn't here tonight.
I have something for that too. Karen, I have something for that. If you would allow me to, let me just pull it up. The one thing that I know that ILA is actively working on is recruiting representatives and members to attend the 2023 round of legislative meetups. If for folks in our service area, there's one on November 28th in Edwardsville. That is a breakfast time. The same day on the 28th, there is a lunch in Effingham. And then on the 29th, the Central Illinois legislative breakfast will happen in the Bloomington Normal area. And registrations are necessary to participate, and the deadline for registrations is November 24th. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. How about ISLAC?
Yeah, I got that too.
I thought you might.
Yeah, I do. So actually, we finally had our first ISLAC meeting in many months, since May, actually, the day after our annual meeting, so November 1st. Topics that we discussed in detail were the state library grants to prison libraries to allow them some funds for collection development. In the past, it was in the Department of Corrections budget, but it was not happening in the actual libraries in any of those facilities. So that was a big change and an improvement. We did talk quite a bit about broadband, where it is right now in Illinois. And we also talked about Carly's OER grant, and OER is Open Educational Resources. They received a $3 million grant from the Illinois State Library to develop more OERs for libraries, academics across the state. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to unfinished business. The 2025 nominating committee has been selected. We have five people who agreed to serve on this committee this year, and they're listed in your packet. Do you have any questions? And if not, we will need a motion and a second to make them official. Hearing no questions, could I get a motion and a second for approval, please?
So moved. This is Christy Lair.
Thank you.
I'll second it, Christy Walker.
Thank you.
Well,
could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Moving on to the meetings via electronic means policy update. This is its second reading.
Hi. In your packet, that 15.2 is the current version, the most current version of the meetings via electronic means policy. As we stated in the memo that accompanies that update, the language in blue is new since the September board meeting. I know there have also been policy committee meetings since then. And the bold black language is a point of discussion for the board, where we'd like to see you come to a decision about that part. We realized that section 4 was misnumbered on the first draft. We updated this latest version with the correct numbering and refined the procedures outlined in section 4. This has been reviewed by policy and membership and the executive committee. And Ellen is at our meeting to discuss any questions that you may have, because she's the one that has been worked this so closely with policy and membership committee.
I was just going to say that I think that I think we need to let you know 24 hours in advance where we are attending. I think that is critical. I don't know that it needs to be through the attendance system or that L2 system or not, as long as we let you know. And I also was wondering on this, the other part on this is, if you do this and our bylaws aren't changed, because our committees aren't listed in the bylaws as ad hoc or advisory, I think what you're doing is, I know this won't happen and I don't want it to happen, but I think until those bylaws are changed, then your committee meetings can make no decisions, period, because otherwise they fall under this.
Yes, you're correct. And that's what we're going to have effective the November Executive Committee meeting, or sooner, to share with the Executive Committee.
All right. We need a motion and a second to pass this. Do we have a motion?
Kevin, I'll move.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Pakel.
Thank you. Stacy, could you do the roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to new business. Fiscal year 2024 employee handbook policy updates 16.1.
The updates in your packet. Thank you. The updates in your packet represent all the updates we plan to share with you at this time for the personnel handbook. Mm-hmm. The delay in rescheduling the board meeting to this evening means we could also include the items from the November personnel committee meeting, which was last Friday. All have been shared with the personnel committee and all have been reviewed by council. Do you have any questions? And Jill will be happy to answer, and I will be happy to answer any if you do.
Does this include the Family Leave Act, or is that for later? That's for later.
This does include the Family Leave Act, Paid Family Leave Act. Is that what you're talking about? Not the PLAW,
yes.
Correct?
Because it wasn't in the new amendment, so I was curious.
Yeah. So if you look at pages 53 and 59, those were actually the policies that were reviewed in our October Personnel Committee, mm-hmm. And because we just had this last meeting on Friday, we just decided to roll it all into. If you look at attachment, I believe it says 16.5 in your packets. That includes everything. So on 16.5, what we have is just a little memo. It's a color-coded memo to go through the different highlights. Everything in yellow is updates to our handbook that reflect changes just in wording for concise and clear communications. Those that are highlighted in turquoise are policy replacements. And I believe that's what you're referring to, Anne, that we took our sick bank and we replaced it with the paid leave bank. Is that what you're discussing?
Well, that was one. The other one was Unpaid Family Leave Act. Is that in this one or that's in the next section, next round?
Okay, what do you mean Unpaid Family Leave Act?
I believe that I read that everyone would get 6 weeks of of paid Family Leave Act, whether they had the days or not. Am I correct or did I not read it correctly?
Yes. So the paid family leave is a policy that is basically taking care of our sick bank policy that we used to have. We used to have a sick bank policy that allowed for 30 days of leave. And now we're changing that. We're taking that out of the employee handbook and we're replacing it with the paid family leave, which is 6 weeks of leave. So it would be an additional 2 weeks. There are some guidelines on there. It's not just for every single person that immediately comes in. You have to work 20 hours or more. You have to be an employee who has been here for at least 1 year. And you have to follow the guidelines that are listed in the paid family leave. So you can't just take paid family leave for any particular reason. It has to be due to a birth of a child, an adoption of a child. You're taking care of a sick family member, things of that nature. So it is not something that comes up often. And I might add too that if you've followed any employment laws on paid family leave, this is becoming a norm. So honestly, it's only a matter of time before the state of Illinois is going to pass something like this. So I look at it as also a proactive approach in that we're putting this in our handbook now. And might I say too that Rails also has a paid family leave of 6 weeks as well. So we're following their guidance as well.
So you
have Does that help answer questions?
So you have enough people who give up sick days to put in the sick bank to cover this?
Okay, sick bank and sick days are two totally different things.
All right.
So a sick bank was a separate policy similar to the paid family leave policy. So it has nothing to do with sick time in general. It was extra pay for when people have issues beyond their circumstances, you know, beyond their control, that they have to take leave on. Does that make sense?
Well, I see what you're saying, but I don't understand why you would add this benefit on if they should have to use up their sick leave, their vacation, their paid PLW days now. Why would you continue to pay them for this? And also, if you're going to pay part of the people, isn't it discriminating if you're not going to pay all? I mean, I think they should just go by the days they have and see how it, and use their family medical leave. I don't want them to lose their job or anything, but you know, I consider that it's just like it's overspending when you don't have to.
Family medical leave is the same thing. Family medical leave, every employee is not eligible for family medical leave. So anybody that works 20 hours or less, they're not eligible for that particular leave. So it's following the same guidance as Family Medical Leave Act, but we're paying them for the 6 weeks time frame. So really what we're talking about here is just adding an extra 2 weeks based on making it different than our, you know, our paid sick bank leave that we had. And again, this is something that is pretty much out there in most companies right now to have a paid leave, because even if you have a baby, Do you not deserve any vacation because you've had a baby? Do you not deserve any time off because you've had a life-changing event or something? Maybe your mother is ill and you have to take care of your mother, or your father is ill and you have to take care of your father. That's what it's looking at. It's looking at there are things beyond individuals' control. It's a mental health. It's a well-being. It's something that is being followed. I mean, if you look, like I said, at Rails, Rails does it. I think Alexia Ginolius just passed for the state workers to have leave as well. So this is something that is very common in the industry, and we're just kind of not up to industry standards.
Well, people need family leave. I'm not debating that. They're going to have babies, et cetera. But to just pay them out when they've used their sick days, personal vacation, whatever they get, to me is you're going to have people that are going to abuse that. So,
Can't abuse it because it's a criteria. They can't abuse anything if they don't meet the eligibility requirements.
Right. But some people will get it and some people won't. The other thing on the PLW part, I was glad to see that it was replaced by the personal days. It was replaced them. Will you have some that will go over the 5 days that you're giving them?
So what are you referring to go over the 5 days?
Well, you're allowing them, you're paying forward 5 days as PLAW time.
Yes, PLAW. You have to, by law, we have to give them right. 40 hours. All full-time individuals have to have a bank given to them of 40 hours. Part-time individuals will accrue it 1 hour for every 40 hours worked.
Correct, but we're paying them forward. What are you going to do within the year if they earn more than the 5 days?
Well, they can never earn more than the 5 days of PLAW. PLAW is maxed out at 5 days. You're not earning more than 5 days.
They will only be given 5 days every January 1st.
Yes, January 1st. It's a calendar year program that we're implementing it by. So from January 1st to December 31st, they are getting 5 days of leave for full-time folks, and part-time folks are accruing it. They're not going to ever accrue more than that time frame within that 1 year period.
So you're telling me the law says they can only accrue 5 days. They can't accrue every 40 hours they work, they get an hour. So you're telling me that that law has a max of 5 days set on it?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then why are the part-time people, why are we allowing them? Why are we paying them after they quit if they haven't used it? Why are we doing that?
Because that is the way it is spelled out within the law. It says when you accrue, because the alternative is, do you want to give all your part-time people 40 hours right up off the bat?
I don't think you want to do that.
Exactly. And that's the alternative. So either we adopt the way of accrual for our part-time, which is what our legal counsel recommended, because that is the most fair, because then it becomes an issue of, I work 40 hours, this person works 20 hours, and they get 40 hours too. How fair is that? So in fairness, that's why the part-time folks are getting accruals versus the lump sum balances like our full-time individuals would get.
Okay, then one more question. What are you going to do? You front-loaded it for 5. What are you going to do if they don't earn the 5?
Okay, what do you mean they don't earn the 5?
Let's say they go on the family medical leave or wherever, you know, and they take all their vacation, they take all their sick day, and they don't work enough hours to get the 5 days. What are you going to do if that comes up?
They don't get the 5 days.
But they're front-loaded with them.
Yeah, but if they don't use them, they can't carry them over. Full-time people cannot carry over those 40 hours. What happens is January 1, they get a new 40-hour balance.
Right.
They don't
what
carry
I'm saying,
over and then get the 80 and so forth. And
what I'm saying
not
is,
paying out.
What I'm saying is, what if they don't earn the 5 days worth
I guess I'm very confused as to why you're saying what they don't earn.
They were supposed to, for every 40, for when they work 40 hours, they get an hour. So for every 2 months, they'd earn 1 day if they work
there
full
time. That is for part-time individuals. That is for part-time only, not full-time. I think you're mixing up the two plans. Because there's two different ways of accrual systems based on your status.
Right. So you're telling me
somebody,
that.
So maybe if I give you an example, that would help. So if somebody is given 40 hours on January 1st, they are a full-time employee. You're saying, okay, so say they terminate as of June, right? And
no.
No.
What I'm saying is, let's say, unfortunately, there's illness or other things, because it says that vacation time, sick days, things like that cannot accrue the time. So if you have someone that unfortunately has to take all these days or something like that, and they don't earn the 5 days, let's say they only earn 4 days, what happens with that other? They just don't get it. It's taken off the benefit, or?
Yeah, it's not accruing on a full-time basis.
They're just given
time. They're given
what she's saying
40 hours.
But the math still works out. I think she's saying, like, for example, a full-time person works 2,080 hours a year, but say they're off for 6 weeks, so then they don't work 8 hours times 5 days a week times 6 weeks, which is 30, what is that, 30 hours. So then you're taking 5 days a week.
Well, you can't do that. You can't take that away. The law says you can't take that away.
But even if you
once you've given it
that,
to them,
still more than they'd be working. They'd be getting 46 hours. They'd be getting more. Still, full time workers still work more hours, even if they were off 6 weeks, than getting the 5 pay days.
Yeah,
I think I see what you're saying, Anne.
Basically,
though,
if you get your work weeks are 40 hours and you have 52 weeks a year. You know, you need to be working 40 of those of a full time to really earn your uploaded amount. So more than likely you will, because FMLA maxes at 12 weeks, you know, and things like that. So they're really, it's more than likely going to happen if they stay with us. But the savings here is that we don't have to pay out on this leave versus accruing, you know, and that happens too, you know, when people leave. So that's kind of going to be a wash.
Yeah, they're still going to be paid their normal salary regardless. So.
Hey, this is Sarah. I'd like to move on. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to approve the employee handbook policy updates as presented.
Thank you.
I'll second.
I think some of this discussion could happen maybe before a meeting than during a meeting.
Who seconded, please?
Christy Walker.
Would you call the roll?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey. Kevin Kelsey?
He may have departed.
He's
gone. Left.
Okay. Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Piquel.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Vehicle surplus 16.2.
So one vehicle that we had presented to the board last year was not able to be sold at board approved minimum. So we need to repost it to the auction site. We contacted dealers for price suggestions, as the Kelley Blue Book recommendation did not garner bids the last round. And Colin, we've spelled everything else out in the memo. Are there any questions?
Could I have a motion, please?
So, Mom, this is Christy Lair.
Thank you.
Second. Frank. Yeah.
Thank you.
Frank, I'll do one second.
Roll call.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. IELTS Statement of Support of Paraprofessionals, Attachment 16.3.
We shared this with you. I shared this with you all via email before the September board meeting and indicated that it would be on this meeting's agenda. Do you have any questions?
I think it's very noble, but we just don't have the people out there to do it. I wish we could.
Motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second. This is Frank.
Thank you. Roll call again, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Laura Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to public comment policy, second read, 16.4.
That would be me. So this is the second read of our public comment policy. The first read was in May. So some of you may not have been on our board back then. So knowing that, if there are any concerns about this, we can bring it back again to the November 28th meeting, if there are any. So if you have questions, could you let us know? And again, I did ask Ellen if she would help us understand all these changes. Thank you.
So do you want to push this off to the November meeting? Did I hear you correctly?
Only if the board wishes to do so.
Okay. Well, should the board not wish to do so, could I have a motion to approve, please?
Motion to approve. This is Frank.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Tammy. I second.
Thank you. Roll call again, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to attachment 16.5, IHLS Benefits Plan. Jill Trevino is here to review the proposal and answer any questions you have.
Really quickly, Karen, we have... While we've been meeting today, we did discover that the memo that accompanies this did not go to the board intranet. It was on our website. And I believe that the memo went, no, you wouldn't have gotten the memo with the October 31st meeting. Yes, you would have. Yes. We sent it for the October 31st meeting. For some reason, it did not get included in the packet that was posted to the board intranet. I did forward it to all of your email addresses just now if you haven't had a chance to review it. And then Jill's here to walk us through the proposal.
Absolutely. So our benefits plan for 2024 came out very well. We received six different providers giving us information. We also went out to Limerick to go ahead and go out for our benefits proposal. And we overall, we have about a 4.5% increase based on our health insurance for the current population, which is absolutely fabulous considering most companies right now are going to 10%+ increases. So our proposal here is to keep everything as is due to the great renewal that we received,
And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I just have one real quick one. Do you know the percentage of people that actually use the Spring Health? Do they have data for you? I don't care who uses it, just the percentage.
In regards to that, I do get reports that it is heavily used. I can tell you that we did a benefits survey to our staff members, and we had over 70% of our staff members state what a great benefit, and they are glad that it is offered because either themselves or their family members have used it. So if you're looking for a percentage of employees, I can't give you that because this is eligible for employees and all of their family members.
Any other questions?
I was going to make a motion to approve the benefit plan with Blue Cross Blue Shield and then with Guardian for the dental and vision.
Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is Christy Lear.
Okay, roll call.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to fiscal year 2024 proposed budget amendments. Rhonda?
Yeah, so in your packet tonight is a proposed budget amendment. For some of the new board members, you may not know, and maybe some don't recall because it's been a while, but historically, when we've had a large surplus of revenue over expenditures in our general fund, what the audit determines, we have moved that money into our capital projects fund to replenish it. So we had this happen at the end of FY23. As you know, you may have recalled in the audit report in September, it was significant, $423,703. So we are proposing to move that surplus of funds over to the capital projects. So to do that properly, we need the board's approval to have documentation of that. So that's why we have to do a budget amendment and we have to have that approval recorded. So, you know, we have budgeted this year $590,000, a little over that in the capital project. So that's, you know, helping with that. Vehicles alone, like Colleen mentioned, that we did get on the state contract to order, but that is going to still be what we budgeted. Unfortunately, we were hoping to have savings there, being that we could get back on a state contract, but everything's just gone up significantly. So this is going to help offset those capital project costs that we have in the budget in the past year too. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Okay, we need a motion to approve and a second. Do we have one? Two?
Linda.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is
was that Frank?
Yes.
Thank you. Roll call.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily Pickell.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, on to agenda building. What would you like to see on the November board meeting agenda? We will have the first read of the bylaws amendments. These reflect the OMA-related policy changes we have made this fiscal year, plus general updates.
Will the whole board get a chance to review the bylaws?
Yes, it will be in the packet.
Okay. And then I was also wondering, we've never heard about the goals for the director we were supposed to hear about in July. The committee was never set up. So I wondered where we're at with all of that. If we could be updated maybe at the next meeting.
Okay. Anything else? Hearing nothing, I think we have to have a motion and a roll call vote for this too. So do I have a motion to approve?
Motion. This is Frank.
Thank you.
I'll second.
This is was that Ann?
Yes.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Laura Brimfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Piquel?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. I haven't been notified of any public comment. Are there any announcements? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Linda.
Thank you.
Second. Frank. I'll second.
Frank. All right. Meeting is adjourned. My apologies for the length of the meeting. And I hope you croaky voices that I heard over this evening feel better next time. Thank you for coming.